All right, so you all know, Pastor knows now, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, right? And I was doing some math, and I think you're in your 30th year this year, right, since you've been here? Yeah, so you just finished 29 years. You're into 30, all right? So, you know, we ask every year in October for congregation to give towards pastor appreciation. I've sent out the same letter, but I really like the verses. So I'm going to read them. But we recall the following from the passage from 1 Timothy chapter 3 that aptly describes our pastors. Verse 1, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. And I think Pastor and Diana continue, obviously, to embody those things. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Pastor and Diana have great faith. And in verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you, to us. And then finally, in Jeremiah 3:15, God says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And so Pastor and Diana have been given to us, and I thought this morning, and it just came to me, and I think the Holy Spirit shared this with me this morning about, you know, we've heard some say that we're going into a dark winter. And I think the message that I have comes from Luke 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So if we're going into the night, we have shepherds. Joy comes in the morning, but glory comes at night. So fear not. And be thankful that we have shepherds like Pastor and Diana. All right? So let's give them a hand and show them how much we love them.
All right. Thank you for that. You know, it's interesting that my one sister in Virginia Beach goes to a church similar to this, and we compare what the Holy Spirit's doing and then with Caleb's church up in Cedar Rapids, and I can't wait to hear from them today because I know that they've experienced something like we have as well, because this is what the Holy Spirit wanted. All right. We'll continue with pushing back the darkness, but if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm just going to refresh you on Psalm 1 and Isaiah 5. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you like whatever you do to prosper? Hallelujah. And Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. If we're going to push back the darkness, then the easiest way to do it is to allow our light to shine brighter. And if we're going to allow our light to shine brighter, then we have to become more and more like Jesus. And that means that we have to study God's word. We have to know his word, become in love with his word to the point that we're willing to do what his word says. Amen? Because sometimes as Christians, we like to hear the word. We don't always like to be doers of the word. And so we have to be those who are willing to do it. And just a reminder from last week, you know, there's enough good things that God has prepared for us that we don't really have to go to the edges and try and figure out what we can get away with before he has to deal with us. Just concentrate on the good things that he has for you and forget about the things that you think you can't do. All right? The reason that he doesn't want you to do them is because the enemy has come, and he says that his only job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life, and so it's the life that we're after. And, you know, even during worship, when you're talking about the peace and Jesus, you know, when you get Jesus, you get it all. And that's what's so awesome about him and about God. He's got such great things for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, and if you've been here for any length of time, you know this is one of my favorite set of scriptures. So sorry you get to hear it again, but I'm really not sorry. Because I love this, and I love the whole connotation of this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 15. See, I have set before you today, everybody say today, life and good. Isn't that awesome? Life and good. Then, he says, death and evil. And then verse 16. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today. And then he lists some things. And I, some of them are going to be underlined when you see it on the, what do you call it thing? Overhead, the projector. Not overhead, projector. All right, here goes. He's, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I commanded you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules. Isn't that awesome? So he's given us things that we are commanded to do, that we are supposed to do, that this should be natural for every believer, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules. And he says, if we will do that, because verse 6 starts off with an if we will do that, then he says this, he finishes this verse, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you. Isn't that awesome? How many want to be blessed by God? If you don't, you're in the wrong place. All right? Then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. And I just want to encourage you, you're to be the pastor of wherever you work. They should be coming to you. They should be, when they need help and they need some light, they ought to know they can turn to you. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them. And again, that sounded like last week at a Genesis, doesn't it? And James, when he talks about when we before we sin, how we're lured and enticed away. And he's saying, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, verse 18, that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. How easy it is to be lured away and enticed away by the pretty picture that the enemy paints for us, and yet death is on the other side of that. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say, choose life. That you and your offspring may live. Verse 20, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. Isn't that awesome? Three things again. Loving the Lord, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, why I like reading this and why to me it's so important is because we are born into death. The scripture talks about the god of this world, which is Satan, the enemy. And it was handed over to him in the garden, in the fall. And so he's the god of this world. And so we are born into death automatically. We're born into sin. I mean, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you don't even have to think about whether you know how to learn how to sin or not. It's ingrained in us. We know. Okay? Death is at work in us. But if we don't choose life, if we don't choose God, then we stay in death. And that's why it's so important when Moses is talking to them and he's encouraging them. He's like, look, choose life. God has given you the opportunity, so choose life. And if we don't choose life, we're going to stay in darkness, we're going to stay in death, we're going to stay in sin, and we can't push back the darkness. But when we choose life, then we choose to walk in God's ways, and we can push back the darkness. And then I just want to refresh your memory on Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And, you know, we need to make that declaration. We need to make it and stand on it and say, you know what, we're serving the Lord. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. I want us to see this right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. According to Matthew, this happens in chapter 4. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He's baptized. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon him and leads him into the wilderness. And he's tempted. When he comes out, that's the beginning of his ministry. He does a few things just before this. I think two things before this. And so we have this in Matthew chapter 5. This is really the beginning of his ministry. And look at what he does. And look at the contrast that he's already painting. But then I want to throw something else in as we look at this. He says in verse 2, Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And when I read this, and you read it in the context of him contrasting things, let me go through it again and just read a portion of it and then what he's comparing it to. Because he's comparing the kingdom of heaven versus the way of the world. Okay? So he says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay, well then what's he compared to what? Compared to the proud. Okay? Blessed are those who mourn. And this was a hard one to come up with, but I call them the deniers. They deny everything. You know, there's people who don't mourn, but they don't mourn because they're denying everything. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. Versus what? The weak. Or those who have to try and show themselves strong because they are weak. And they don't know what to do. And meekness is really power under control. And I love that verse because he says, they'll inherit the earth. Mm. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, compared to what? Compared to those who are full. And then I have in there full of themselves. Because that's usually what we're full of. We're usually full of ourselves. Blessed are the merciful. Okay, versus who? The judgmental. Blessed are the pure in heart. Versus who? The evil. Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, versus who? And this one I had to limit myself on, so I just did it in two words. Those who live in strife and drama. Because I've learned that people who live in strife and drama, they're not peacemakers at all. And there's some people that, man, when there's peace there, it's like their whole body, they don't know what to do. They're not used to it. They can't handle it. And so they have to stir up strife or create more drama. And it's like, oh, my goodness. All right. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Okay, versus what? Versus being a coward. That means you're not standing up for righteousness' sake. You're afraid to. So if you're not afraid to, you might get persecuted, but that's all right. So Jesus, right from the start of his ministry, he's contrasting light from darkness. And if we're going to be the light, then we have to live according to a different drumbeat. Now, if we stopped in verse 12, but if you read just a few more, the next section in your Bible, it says salt and light, right? Because then he declares us as being the salt of the world and the light of the world. Now, this is him declaring it before he knows who we are. You know, not really, but I mean, you know, he's prophesying this, not only to the disciples and about them and those that are going to walk, but about us, that we're salt and we're light, even though we may not feel like it, we may not act like it. But, oh, and by the way, since we're talking about that, on the back of your bulletins is the month at a glance. And make sure you read that because it's awesome and we're right on target with it and stuff because we're the light of the world, all right? So, and it starts in 2 days, so. So the world has its system, its principles that govern it, and the kingdom of God has its principles that it operates by. And God's desire is that we choose him and his ways. And if we'll do that, we'll choose life. Just because we are born again doesn't mean we're going to walk with God the rest of our life. It doesn't mean that we're going to naturally walk according to his ways the rest of our lives on earth. Every day, it's a choice, and we have to decide if we're going to walk with him or not. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, It's okay to be different from the world. It's okay. You know, sometimes I think we think, well, what are they going to think of me? They're going to think you're different. They're going to think you're weird. They're going to think, why are they doing this? You know, Diana, when she went to work, she went there because her sister-in-law really was trying to get her there. And she was there, and she's like, I don't even know why I'm there. I said, honey, you're there to be a light to them. And that was almost, or I think 5 years ago. And that's what she's been. She's been a light there. It's okay to allow people to see the contrast in the way we live. It's okay for them to see that. I don't know why we think it's not. We've been lied to. It's okay to allow our lives to be blessed because we choose to walk with God versus not being blessed and being in all this strife and drama and futility that they're involved in because they're walking according to their own ways, which is according to the way of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world, so it's okay to be different. Kids, it's okay to do your homework in school. To be different. I promise you, if you do homework today, you're really different. There are tremendous benefits to walking with God, obeying His word. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Paul appeals to us as to how we should be living. And it's not in the sense of, hey, everything's great because you're on your way to heaven. No, Paul tells us how we ought to be living in Romans chapter 12. But this will only come as we have a shift in our thinking that our salvation is designed just to get us to heaven. We have to stop thinking that's the only reason why we're saved. It's not. Because when we think that, then we stay helpless and defenseless against the world system, against the enemy. And then we're just miserable because we're like, well, I'm just waiting to get out of here. Well, do something productive for the kingdom of God while you're here, while you're waiting. But we're stuck in this mindset that, you know, salvation is designed just to get us to heaven. No, it's to bring heaven down to earth. And the complete opposite is true of the salvation that God has given us. He's given us a salvation that is full of power, that is full of ability, and full of enablement for good things. And we have to change our thinking about that. And it's given us the ability to overcome anything that the enemy presents to us. While we're down here, not when we get to heaven. You're not going to need all that when you get to heaven. We can be successful in our Christian walk down here. We don't have to give in to the ways of the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, I want to pause here for a minute because I haven't shared this for a while, so I just want to remind you of it. Do you know what a living sacrifice is? It doesn't exist in the natural. Because when you sacrifice something, what is it? It's dead. But he calls us to be living sacrifices. So what is he saying? Okay, we have to be dead to the ways of this world, but alive unto God in his ways. That's what being a living sacrifice is all about. And then he confirms that in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so that's the life that God wants us to live. He wants us to live contrary to the ways of the world. And so I want to remind you again, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be different than the world. I want to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 out of the Message Bible. This is such a great read on it. Here it is, Romans 12, 1 and 2 out of the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Isn't that awesome? Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Now, that's just verse 1. Isn't that great? Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Live according to the limits God has given you. Don't try and be something that you're not. Be the you that He's made you to be. Verse 2 says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And so this isn't a message of, okay, you got saved, now just wait until you go to heaven and everything will be great. This is a message of, let God be your God. You be His son or His daughter and become all that He's called us to be. What an awesome, awesome message. And I love that translation of it. We have much more power than what we are walking in, that we've ever walked in. And we need to make the commitment to draw close to God, closer to God, and have that determination to be more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And you're in Romans 12. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. We're almost done. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. He says, what then shall we say to these things? And these things are things that aren't necessarily good. And then he's even going to point out some more things that aren't good. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And I just want to make mention of that scripture means that he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. I don't know where we think in our minds as Christians that as soon as something difficult happens to us, we get mad at God. Quit it. Change your thinking. He's right there. He's never going to leave us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He's going to help us. Verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he has some choices. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or COVID? It's not in there, but, you know, it's part of the tribulation, I guess. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And then Paul starts verse 37 with an emphatic no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Isn't that awesome? It's the love of God that sustains us. And when we realize that love, we realize how much God loves us, then we realize that we are more than conquerors through that love. No matter what comes our way, we are loved. And we're going to be victorious. We're not going to be victims the rest of our life. You know, I can't tell you how many Christians I have met that are victims. And they, as long as they stay victims, they're never going to move to victory. And, you know, when, as for another sermon, I'm running out of time. Can I wait, Diana? Do I have to? Okay. She said I can wait. Verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Isn't that awesome? Now, what caught my attention as I was going over this yesterday in verse 37 in particular, he says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It doesn't say through him who died for us, through him who was raised from the dead, even though he was. But the major aspect of it is we are more than conquerors because he loves us. Because he loves us. Isn't that awesome? You need to go home and look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm more than a conqueror because he loves me. And you might be the only one that ever says that about you. But that's all right. You and him make a good team. All right? I want to encourage you as we push back the darkness to let these words that we've seen over the last few weeks be the way that we live our lives. Let us not forget the love that God has for us and let it propel us. The scripture at 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, says that it compels us, it squeezes us, it brings us to the point. We need to let the love of God do that to where we come to the place where we live a life worthy of his calling. And when we do that, we will automatically push back the darkness by being a bright light. Amen? Father, we thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the direction that your word gives us. And Father, I pray that every one of us, that we would endeavor to choose life, that every day we would choose life, your life, that we would love you, that we would walk with you, that we would follow all that you've instructed us, that we would give you the ability to lead us and guide us. And Father, as we do, I thank you that your word declares that we will be a bright light that pushes back the darkness. And we thank you for it. Thank you for that hope. Thank you for being able to be that hope. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, be blessed. Have a great week. Keep checking Facebook out for services. And if you need prayer, feel free to come up. We'll be delighted to pray with you.